All right, my name is Jaden Gomez. I am 18 years old. Today is April 29th, and I'm speaking with Daniel Gomez, who is my father, and we are recording this in Clearfield, Utah. So, to start us off, what heroes and role models did you have growing up?
I really didn't have any specific heroes. I guess the only role model would probably be my mom.
Yeah.
She was a single mother,
mm-hmm.
raised seven bratty kids. So that was probably really the only person I feel like right now that was had a major role model type influence on my life.
Yeah, yeah. And what about the highest honor or award you've received?
I can't remember what type of award it was, but it was in high school. I can't remember if it was my sophomore year or my senior year. It was like a, I guess you could say kind of like a academic presidential achievement type award that the high school would give out. I got to go in, I missed a couple of classes, and they had like a little ceremony type thing. And I dressed up a little bit, and there was a handful of parents, other students, some teachers and other faculty members that were there, and I was presented the award. I can't remember exactly what it was for, but I know it was in academics. I just can't remember if
probably.
It was something specific class or not.
Maybe something, probably something scientific or math, if that's what they do, you know?
Yeah.
And what about when you were younger? Like, what was your favorite place to go? Like, any hangs when you were a teenager or anything like that?
There's really no specific or favorite hangout that we had. When we were kids, we just kind of were able to ride our bikes all over. We'd just go to the park that was a couple blocks away. That's where we'd hang out and ride our bikes and down like a hill and stuff like that. And there was a couple of fields, empty lots that were nearby that we could, that had trails where we could ride our bikes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was really no, nothing of anything other specific other than those.
So you were some of those delinquents that the world was your hang or whatever?
I guess you could say that. We just neighborhood kids that hung out just close to the our house and our neighborhood.
Yeah. And I hope this one, if you could talk to one fictional character, living or dead, who would it be?
Fictional character. Maybe
hesitating.
I don't know.
You got all those books over on that shelf right there.
Yeah, but there's just a whole bunch of different fictional
characters
that deals paranormal stuff in there. But a fictional character would probably be maybe Tarzan.
Tarzan?
Yeah, Tarzan. I think it'd be interesting to see how he adjusted to, or how, if he ever did fully adjust to being raised in a jungle by, you know, apes and gorillas and stuff, and then being placed in a society with humans and all the etiquette and all the properness about it. Basically, you're going from the wild to civilization and then back to civilization. I think it'd be interesting to see I think it'd be interesting to learn how difficult it was, and I think it'd be obvious that he would prefer to live in the jungle rather than with upright, walking, human, man people.
Man people, huh?
Man people, yeah. Apes and men are pretty similar, aren't they?
sure, we'll go with that. Like,
they are.
They're pretty close on the evolution chain, so I'll give you that. Yeah, African estimates and humans are really close if you believe in evolution, which there's scientific evidence for, so. You want to go into the psychology of Tarzan, basically.
Yes, I think that'd be interesting.
Yeah, that would be interesting when you think about it. All right, then, what about one real person? If you could talk to one real person, living or dead, who would you talk to?
I think if I was to talk to somebody, I think it would be interesting or fun to talk to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah.
Not about religion or race or anything like that, but just to be able to maybe have breakfast or lunch with him, sit across the table and just talk about sports or, you know, depending on the time, if it's in his time back in the 60s or if it's now here in this current year or century, just to talk, to have just a conversation about work and life and sports and what's going on and things like that, but not have to focus solely on what we know him as a civil rights leader, but just as a regular guy, just, you know, what he liked to read and, you know, if I was able to talk to him now, if he was alive now, what TV shows or movies he likes, or if he's into comic books or cartoons, and, you know, what he particularly did that day with his kids or anything like that, just a real down to earth conversation with him.
That's pretty human, because we do kind of deify these political figures, and Martin Luther was great, no doubt. It was like, they are humans. Like, that'd be interesting. I want to listen to that conversation. Then, what about, this is me, you know, me. What is the most vivid paranormal experience you've ever had?
A few months ago, I probably have a few, and people can believe them or not. I've past maybe 10 years, I've had a handful of experiences. A few of them have occurred where place I used to work, where it was, I was not the only one who experienced stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Every person, as far as I know, I'll probably go with 99% of everybody that had ever worked in that particular building had some sort of paranormal experience. None of it was made up. It was all verifiable. People would swear to whatever they believed in, that experienced stuff. But a few months ago, I was asleep. It was probably 2 or 3 in the morning, and I heard a knock on my bedroom door.
Mm-hmm.
So I got up, thinking it's one of the kids.
Yep.
Opened it, and no one was there. So I go to their room to see if maybe they're playing a joke on me or sleepwalking.
It was like me or Christian or Jace.
Yeah, and nope, they were just fast asleep. It was obvious no one had moved in a while. They were just snuggled in bed. And so I just ended up going back to sleep, and I later on realized that by me opening the door after that knock, I let the spirit into my room.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had other instances where I felt movement on my bed, where it felt like somebody was on my bed, crawling on my bed. I could feel
the pressure.
The pressure on the mattress, where it's a memory foam mattress, so if you press on it, it's going to rise back up. You're going to see
the indents.
The indents, and the indents fill back up. And so I wasn't dreaming. I was wide awake when this happened. And so people can believe what they want, but I know not everybody believes in this stuff, or they believe in some form of it. But this is what I experienced, and that's my ghost story.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's just like more like a lesson to like, don't answer the knock in the middle of the night. I don't know what other lesson could we take that, because yeah, that's crazy, because like, we all, I have my paranormal experiences, you know. And this is going to change topics a little bit, but like, it's really going to change topics. What was your favorite thing to do when you were in high school?
When I was in high school, I really didn't have a lot of favorite things to do. I worked all through high school.
Oh, really?
And so I worked, I think, just about almost every day after school. Mm-hmm. And my senior year, I worked every weekend, probably except for like three, my entire senior year. So I was at work Saturdays and Sundays and
mm-hmm.
Friday nights. So I really didn't do a lot.
Yeah.
A couple times I hung out with some friends, went to some haunted houses, but as a high school kid, I really didn't do a lot of stuff other mm-hmm. than go to school and then work.
So you didn't have a lot of free time, basically.
Yeah, it wasn't like more or less my free time. I just spent it working. That's what I decided that I wanted to do.
Did you have a favorite job at least when you were working? Like, was one better than the other, basically?
No, not really. I mean, when I was 16, I worked in a grocery store, and then after that, I ended up working in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up staying there for about 4 years, so that's what I did after high school or during high school.
And what do you think has had the most influence on you? Like, it could be any one person or event or anything like that.
I don't think there's ever been any particular one influence on me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said earlier, my mom was probably like the biggest role model for me, but I don't think I've ever had any situation or any circumstances that have influenced me. I've, just like everybody, I have regrets. But I've never really, I guess the best way to say it is I'm okay with all the decisions that I've made throughout my life and the roads they take me down. Everything's a learning experience, whether it's good or bad. So.
Yeah. On that, like, what would you consider, like, a turning point in your life? Like, has there been any one moment where it's just like, this has happened and bam, and your life is now just kind of like taking a new direction or anything like that?
Probably when my mom passed away.
Oh.
It was difficult. I mean, I was 20 years old, almost 21. I was still living at home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my mom got sick and she died of cancer. And then afterwards, it hit me really hard. And I probably didn't make all the best choices in my life, but I've tried not to let that influence my life or
mm-hmm.
lay me down the wrong path. I have a couple brothers that it really affected them, and they just went down the wrong path and
mm-hmm.
did the wrong things, and they've really never recovered from those. Bad choices still are with them today. And so it was a turning point in my life. Not knowing what to do. I had ideas of what I wanted to do. I wanted to join the military.
Really?
But it's just circumstances, my mom being sick and everything, I didn't feel like it was the best thing for me to do because no one would be home to help. So I just decided that being home and just working and paying the bills and helping my mom out was the best thing for me to do at the time.
Why would you want to join the military? Like,
school. I mean, military will help you pay for school and stuff. Yeah. And I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And if I could join the military, I could get school paid for.
Mm-hmm.
If you enlist for, 2 to 4 years or 6 years or whatever, or if maybe I found something that I liked,
mm-hmm.
I could have made it a career. And if I joined, back then when I was young, I'm 18 to 20 years old,
mm-hmm.
when I was 40, I could have retired with full military benefits and
mm-hmm.
started the second part of my life. And I would have had 20 years, possibly military retirement, so.
Yeah. So you did want to go to higher education?
Yeah, I did at one point in my life, but now I don't want to say that I couldn't do it, because I know I could, but I just...
Don't see yourself doing
it. No, I like to learn stuff,
yeah.
but I like to learn it the way I want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to write papers and take tests and quizzes and midterms and do all the stuff. I would like to go and listen to the lectures and learn stuff and participate in, the conversations. But having to take a test on what I learned, it just doesn't interest me
yeah.
to do that anymore. I just want to read and learn and go from there. I don't want to be in a classroom type environment and have that curriculum anymore.
Hmm. So, what achievement are you proud of? Stuff like it's not limited to school. Like any one achievement or any whatever achievement you've accomplished, what are you proud of? Stuff.
The thing that that makes me, I guess, the proudest, I don't know if that's a proper English way to say it, but just my kids.
Yeah.
Just seeing them graduate and have all three of my kids have their diplomas, and being able to navigate through school. I know it's not easy. I know it wasn't the easiest of times for them, but having been able to accomplish that is a big accomplishment, because there's a lot of kids, a lot of adults who struggle in with me and my siblings, the seven of us. I'm the only one who ever went from the beginning to the end,
mm-hmm.
start to finish, and graduate high school. The other ones more or less dropped out 11th grade or earlier,
mm-hmm.
and so they never finished high school.
Mm.
Some of them went back and got their diplomas later on, or their GEDs or something like that, but I was the only one that went all the way through and never dropped out, and just was able to walk across the stage and hear my name called out just like everybody else.
I didn't know that. You were the nerd of your family, weren't you?
Not really the nerd. I mean, all your aunts and uncles on my side of the family, they are so smart. They really are. I mean, but...
You're just a little book smart.
No, not even book smart. I think they just... Some of them got in with the wrong crowd. Some of them just made maybe the wrong choices.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they just didn't, at the time, think where they'd be in the future. And I think that's part of my, I don't say a curse, but my OCD that I have, is I think about things in the future. I think about where I'm at, where I'm going to be at tomorrow, and in a month, in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, and what my life will be like down the road. I've always thought about that. That's always been something that has always been on my mind, is
the future,
is later on. And I just don't think my brothers and sisters at that time, when they were young, they just didn't think about it or didn't really worry about it too much.
What do you remember when me and my brothers were born? Like, I don't know, like, it'd be like sensation, like a feeling or whatever, like sound or...
When Christian was born, I was happy. I was scared. Just probably all these different emotions, but I was just proud. A lot of people, when they have kids, don't realize that their life changes, and it's not like in a bad way, but it's not about them anymore.
Yeah.
And that's where I think a lot of young adults struggle, because they worry about themselves. They're worrying about make sure they have the best clothes, make sure they are taken care of, make sure they have their video game, or they have time to still go out and hang out with friends and go to the clubs, and that's still important to have some sort of social life, but make sure your child is taken care of, make sure your child is happy and healthy and they are learning is a parent's job. And when you and your brother was born and Jace were born, same thing, it was scary because first thing we were told is, you know, Jace had jaundice and you had holes in your heart. So that was pretty scary. And on top of being born early and having to spend a month in the
NICU,
you know, Christian came home after a day or whatever, and you guys couldn't. And so it was for a month, your mom and me were just, we were torn because we had Christian at home and then we had you get at the hospital and we'd take turns going back and forth to the hospital every day and getting Christian to preschool and everything. But it was happy. I was happy just knowing that, yeah, you guys did have some health issues initially, but it wasn't anything that was going to
be long term.
I mean, your heart condition could have been long term, but, you know, thankfully it wasn't. But I was pretty happy and excited. And I know a lot of people say that having twins is hard or whatever, but as long as you pay attention to your kid and you watch them when they're running around and crawling around, they're going to be okay. They're going to get bumps and bruises and scrapes, but that's what being a kid is all about.
At least you didn't have, like, the concern where me and Jace could have been mixed up. Because that would have been awful.
Well, then we would just sold the story to Disney and made a lot of money.
True. Then, what have you learned about other people in life? Like, I don't know how to phrase this, like, learned about other people in life. In general sense of how other people are going to treat you, I guess.
Well, it's probably not the best outlook, I guess you could have, but I don't trust a lot of people. It's sad that we have a society where that's the case. I would love to be able to walk down the street and trust somebody, but I can't. And, you know, being alive for, you know, 46 years or whatever and experiencing everything that I've experienced, trusting people is not the easiest thing to do. And it's easy to trust somebody and to put trust in somebody, but it's not easy at the same time because you, once you put trust in somebody and, you know, for whatever reason, whatever circumstance, that trust is broken, it's hard to trust people, or at least that particular person. And I think that's one lesson I learned, is just trusting people is very difficult. At the same time, like I said, it's easy, but it is a difficult thing to do, because you want to trust people. You want to believe in the good in people. And unfortunately, there's just those handful of people that, just like with every situation, they ruin it for everybody. They ruin it for the masses.
Yeah. Is there anything you have done that would surprise me? Like, good surprise, bad surprise? I'm hoping for a good surprise.
I don't know. I flew in an airplane. I flew the airplane.
We flew the airplane?
Yes. So when I was just after high school, I was probably like 19 or 19 at the time, I think. I had a couple of friends who were same age. They were getting their pilot's license. One of my friends, his dad was a airline pilot, and he owned a small little two-seater Cessna airplane. And my friend had his license. He just needed to get more flight time. And so we would go up every now and then, his airplane, he'd take me flying with him on just for 20, 30 minutes or whatever. And this one time we went after work, so it was nighttime, 11, 12 at night. And my mom didn't know. She would have freaked out and told me no.
She knows now, I guess.
But he wanted to fly north towards Idaho just to go to the border, turn around and come back. And he just let me take the controls for a little while, and it was scary at first, but you just do what you're told and move your feet on the pedals to control it and everything, and the steering wheel. It's not like driving a car. You have a steering wheel.
I was getting off with it like that.
But what controls the airplane to go sideways or whatever is the foot pedals. I mean, the steering wheel, you push it in, and the plane goes down. You pull it back, and the plane goes up. But the foot pedals control everything else, because you have the rudder and everything and the flaps, and that gives the airplane a lot of control. But he let me fly it for 10 minutes-ish, I guess you could say, when we were heading. It was dark, and so I couldn't see anything, but we were heading toward Idaho.
Now, imagine if you could drive the car, and if you pushed down or pushed in, the car would start going down. That seems more problematic than anything.
Yes, it does.
I thought that was going to say you got arrested and was put in jail or something.
No.
Were you ever arrested?
Mistaken identity.
What?
So, I'm pretty sure I've told you this, but I was...
Maybe?
20 or 20, I think it was right about the same age. Me and a friend ran to the store, and then we were driving home. And it was a friend that knew my mom. He was a couple years older than me, but he worked with my mom. And he wanted to go to the store for whatever reason, so I drove him, and on the way back, I got pulled over. The cop told me he couldn't see the sticker on my license plate for the renewal, which was clear as day, and I don't want to say it was because I was Hispanic, and the friend that I was with was African American.
We're not going to say it, but we're going to have to imply it.
I got pulled over. The officer said that I had warrants for my arrest, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And he asked me, Daniel Gomez? I go, yeah. Were you born in 7/29/1972, I go, yeah.
Oh, no.
And so he took me in. It turns out that the social security number was off by one number.
Oh, no.
And so I was booked, and my mom had to pay $100 for them to release me. And after that, the case was dropped. But the person that had the mistaken identity, or that had almost the same...
The actual Daniel Gomez, that
one
with the arrest.
The one that was wanted was... wanted in Southern Utah on breaking and entering, burglary, abuse charges, and all this stuff. And
none of which you had time for because you were working and flying planes.
True, and plus I never been to Southern Utah.
Oh, I guess that's also a fact. Like, so, that's a pretty good alibi.
But I think that I got pulled over because of my race, and race wasn't a factor, but he didn't 100% verify my identity. And so, yeah, I got arrested.
Well, at least he didn't actually do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the criminal justice system worked in this one case.
Well, no, it didn't work because
yeah.
My mom had to pay $100
and yeah,
she never
that
got that
too.
Back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go.
You're a hardened criminal now, I guess. What's something you want to do before you die? I'm assuming fly a plane is not on this list.
Skydive.
I knew it.
But I'm afraid of heights.
Yeah.
I don't know. I will one of these days. Maybe for my 50th birthday I'll do it. But
50's coming pretty fast.
Yep.
I thought you had said 70, so it's like 70. It doesn't matter if you make it to the ground or not. You're already at the end.
Not quite at the end yet.
Yeah, that's why I thought you'd say you wait, not just like soon.
Sooner the better.
Plus, if you're 70 and you make it to the ground, but like use the bathroom on your way to the ground, you can blame it because you're 70.
Well, I'll still wear a diaper.
I probably already asked this one. Did you have any, well, I asked something like this. Did you have any mentors growing up? Like anyone who, I want to say took a special interest in like how you turned out, but like anyone like that?
No, not really. There was really no mentors or anybody that, you know, helped me along the way. I think everything that I did on my own.
Mm-hmm.
There's no teacher or anybody like that who, I guess, took an interest in making sure that I became successful. So, no, nobody.
That's just like the firework that just kind of fizzles, then it doesn't go off. Like, yeah, you know, it's just not Hollywood, I guess. Then, is there any advice you can give to me since I'm leaving high school? Yeah. Like, you got, I don't want to say 30 plus years because I'm not doing math right in my head, but like, is there any advice you could probably, anything you want to say to me, Christian, Jace, maybe anyone who will be listening to this later?
Just be thankful for everything that you have and everything that, I guess you could say it's been given to you. I know you guys have earned a lot of what you have and a lot's just been given. But just be thankful and don't ever forget where you're from or your heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And don't ever think you're better than anyone else. You can be proud of who you are and you can have confidence in yourself. But when you start to think that you're better than others as a whole, that's not what your mom and me have tried to instill in you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you guys to be good people, live good, happy lives, and like I said, don't think you're better than anybody. There's always room to grow. There's
mm-hmm.
always room to learn. And I've never, as much as I've been proud of your guys' grades, hopefully you guys remember me telling you that I would rather you guys learn. I'd rather you get a B on the test than an A, as long as you learned something, as long as it stuck with you. It might not stick with you forever, but as long as you can say that you learned something. That's what I've always wanted for you guys, just to learn. Doesn't matter what it is, whatever subject you guys love the most, as long as you learned something and not just you took a test and you just aced it because that's what you're supposed to do. Or you took a class and you got an A or whatever through it, throughout the whole thing, because that's what you're supposed to do. I'd rather you take a class and learn something and get B's than just hurry and go through it and just get an A because it was the easiest thing to do. I'd rather you work hard and work as hard as you can for the A and have something to show for it.
Got it?
Yeah, for now, I guess.
Hopefully there'll be more. Yeah, there's always more to life, I guess, in lessons. And I know that I have a lot to learn from you. And I really am grateful for everything that you and Mom have given me, even though I don't express it. I don't know how to. That's my thing. But I always am grateful every day for every opportunity that I have been given through what you and Mom could do and have done for me and my brothers. And family is always going to be one of the things I'm most thankful for in my life, because through everything I have been through, you guys have been there for me. And I just love you all, and I don't say that because I don't know how to say it.
It's okay. It's okay to not know how to say it. Just in ways you show it. That's what matters.
Alright, that was my last question, so I think we are done here. Thank you for letting me interview you.
You're welcome.
Alright, love you.